So usually when I get up to speak, I get one of these out of the back. It's usually a little one, but we got a lot of ground to cover today. And if I just fall over, Mike said he was going to jump up and just continue on. So I had to come up here with a big bottle today. So the question is, what will you consume in 2017? And if you think back a few weeks ago, Brother John Brandt talked to us about resolutions, right? And number one and number two was we were going to eat less, or we're going to eat healthy, some variation of that, and we're going to exercise more, right? And so, I don't know about you, but the young lady and young man you see up there, those represent me. And while I have desire to go to that cycling class, I just haven't quite made it yet. I use every excuse in the world. Of course, it's still basketball season for another week and a half. And then, of course, after that's over, I'm going to be in those classes and I'm going to be physically fit. And you all say, yeah, right. Okay. But here's an interesting slide that I went out and I looked at. What do Americans typically consume in a year? Okay. This is unbelievable. Okay. 415 pounds of veggies, 273 pounds of fruit, and probably the doctors were out there going, yeah, that's right, that's good numbers, right? Those are good things. 600 pounds of dairy may be a little high. But then look at the next list, 29 pounds of French fries, 23 pounds of pizza, 24 pounds of ice cream. I'm the one skewing that number really high, okay? So that's my fault. 53 gallons of soda in a year. 141 pounds of caloric sweeteners. That's like sugar, right? And of that, 24 pounds of that are artificial stuff that we're ingesting into our bodies. All told, if you looked at that slide, nearly a ton of food every one of us is ingesting into our bodies every year. When we were conceived, the moment of conception, we were all given three things. A physical body began to grow, a mind began to develop, and God gave us a soul and a spirit. And the Apostle Paul, writing to a young man named Timothy, way back in the first century, talks about working out. He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life that is to come. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Those strongholds are from the enemy. Those are from Satan. And there's basically two types of strongholds. Your worldview, okay? And they're on display. They're on display in the media. Every day, you go to Drudge or whatever news website you go to, materialism, hedonism, Darwinism, secularism, relativism, communism, atheism. I would challenge you to tell me one ism that is good. I was thinking about that all week long. I was trying to think about a good ism. I can't think of one. I don't know. Personal attitudes, worry, seeking approval of men or women, fear, guilt, resentment, insecurity. Those are all strongholds that Satan puts in our minds to keep us separated from God. And so today we're going to talk about destroying those strongholds, destroying the places of evil that exist within our minds. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time that we can come together. Father, we pray for your Spirit to open our hearts, to open our minds, to receive your word just exactly as you would have us hear it. And Father, we pray that we do take better care of our physical bodies in 2017 than we did in 2016, But we ask, Father, that you would help us to take better care of our minds and to ingest those things into our minds that you find pleasing and wholesome, that will serve us better in this life and the life that is to come. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. So if you look at the last verse of that scripture reading that I just read to you, verse 5, we take hold of every thought and make it to obey Christ. And so the question is, well, you know, how do you do that? I don't know about you. My mind is a rebellious mind. It doesn't always mind. It's often disobedient. It's very rebellious. It goes, I want it to go one way. It goes another way. I try to think about godly things. My mind tends to wander someplace else. I try to pray sometimes, and sometimes I'm not focused, right? I'm just, my mind wanders away someplace else. That's nothing new. Paul says these words, I do not do the good that I want to. Instead, I'm always doing the sinful things that I do not want to do. I'm always doing the very things that I do not want to do. It means that I'm no longer the one who does it. It is sin that lives in me. It has become my way of life. When I want to do what is right, I always do what is wrong. My mind and heart agree with the law of God, but there is a different law at work deep inside of me that fights with my mind. This is the law of sin that holds me in its power because sin is still in me. There's no happiness in me. Who can set me free from my sinful old self? God's law has power over my mind, but sin still has power over my sinful old self. I thank God that I can be free through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you relate to that? Those words are as true today as the day that Paul wrote them down for every one of us. And so today I'm going to give you three strategies for winning the battle of the mind. Number one, don't believe everything you think. If you've been with us in the adult class over the last several weeks, you'll recognize most of that slide up there right now. If you haven't been with us, please come and be with us. We're having a great discussion right now about judging and whether Christians are to judge or not to judge, having a very good discussion. Please come and join us for that. But don't believe everything you think. A lot of people, you know, they act on emotion. They act on a feeling. I feel it in here. I know this. Problem is, this is just a muscle. This is just a pump, right? Your mind is where you control your thoughts. The problem with our minds is not always right, okay? The world and Satan are constantly putting suggestions and things into our mind that are completely false. The Bible has at least a dozen different ways that it describes our minds. Every one of us suffers from a godly mental illness. Here's some of the list. Our minds are confused. They're anxious and closed. They're evil and restless. Rash, deluded, a troubled mind, a depraved mind, a sinful mind, a dull mind, a blinded mind, and a corrupt mind. We all suffer from those things, and it's because our minds have been broken by sin. Jeremiah says, the heart is fooled more than anything else, and it is very sinful. Who can know how bad it is? I, the Lord, look into the heart and test the mind. We tell ourselves all the time, things aren't as bad as they really are. Things are better than they really are. We're doing okay when we aren't really doing okay. And it's no big deal when it really is a big deal. We got them all confused. They're all jumbled up. In fact, the Bible tells us that you cannot be trusted to tell the truth even to yourself. Alluded to this in the adult class this morning. Where does that stuff come from? That garbage comes from Satan. The Bible calls him, he is a liar. He is the father of lies. If he can get us to believe a lie, he can get us to sin. If we claim to have no sin, we're only kidding ourselves, John says. and not living in the truth. Number two, guard your mind from garbage. Solomon says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while a fool feeds on trash. And man, there's a lot of trash out there today. And there's a whole bunch of icons up there that represent what a lot of us spend a lot of time on every day, from Instagram to Snapchat to Facebook to the stuff that we like on Facebook. Some of the stuff, quite frankly, that I've seen Christians, people that profess to be Christians, liking on Facebook is embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. The things that's posted on Facebook are embarrassing. The music that we listen to, the tweets that we put out there and we react to in a favorable manner. There's an old acronym that started way back in the days of computer coding, GIGO. It stands for garbage in, garbage out. It's still true today. It's true in the computer world, and it's true in our minds. You feed your mind garbage, that's exactly what you're going to get out of it. And my question is, are we mentally feeding ourselves garbage today? You know, the nutritionist tells us that there's three kinds of food for your physical body. There's actually good food that's good for your brain. It actually makes you smarter. Then there's junk food, which is simple calories. It's not really poison. It's just empty calories. And then there's toxic foods that we need to get rid of. Maybe that's all those artificial sweeteners, right, that we talked about a couple minutes ago. The same is true in what you see, hear, and what you allow into your minds. Think of those things as brain food, okay? Some of that brain food is good. It'll make you smarter. It'll make you more godly, more emotionally mature. Some of it's kind of neutral, though. Apostle Paul says, you say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. In other words, some things aren't necessarily wrong, but they don't have any value. Okay? We have this debate all the time. There is no such thing as mindless entertainment. It does not exist. Whatever you are ingesting into your minds is affecting your minds. My question, why would we knowingly ingest harmful things or things of no value into our minds? Go to the next one there, Andrew. There's a bunch of TV shows, and I've watched probably a third of those. Some of those I haven't even watched just because I probably didn't know anything about them. But David says, I will not set anything before my eyes that is worthless. How many TV shows do we watch that are worthless? And if we actually took David's advice, how many channels on your TV or streaming video feeds would you really need? Probably about one or two. And that's about it. Anyone recognize that picture? That is a Russian reality show that's based in Siberia. And it is being filmed right now. And it is based on the Hunger Games. And if you have read the Hunger Games or you've gone to the movies, you know what the Hunger Games are all about, right? It's a survivalist, okay? And what you have to do is you have to eliminate your competition. And then the winner is the survivor, right? So you got to kill off your competition. This is being filmed in Siberia now. Here's the thing. The producers take no accountability for anything that goes on between the contestants, okay? If they say if you are captured by the local law, then that's on you. We're not accountable. Problem is, it's in Siberia, and I don't think there's probably a lot of law in Siberia, but contestants are able to steal, rape, and kill each other. And I say, would you invite someone into your living room and say, would you commit a murder right here in front of me? Is that what we're doing mentally into our minds when we watch that garbage? I saw this quote, some people are so open-minded that their brains fall out. And boy, to that I'd say yes, amen. You know, they think that, oh, that stuff doesn't affect me. I'm just an open-minded individual. It's just just for entertainment value only. No, it's not. No, it's not. Think how our society has changed over the years and what we've become desensitized to, okay? If you watch The Dead, The Walking Dead, which I got suckered into a little bit, and I have put it away, and I know some of you like The Dead, okay? I got caught up in it, okay? Took me to the first episode of this new season that just ended, and what they showed on TV, I am now not a Dead fan. I'm not watching Dead anymore, okay? Because why would I watch something on TV that I wouldn't want to see acted out in front of me? The language on that show, 10 years ago, you never would have heard those things on TV. Mike was telling me at the NHL skills competition, Snoop Dogg was emceeing that. Well, Snoop decided last night to do one of his songs, right? The language, people didn't think twice about it. It was on live TV. The F word was on live TV. Is that good for us? Is that stuff that we should condone? Is that stuff that we should be ingesting into our minds, not to mention our kids? If you think that stuff is not affecting you personally, Psalm says you're only kidding yourself. You're fooling no one else. Paul says this to the Philippians, do not worry. Learn to pray about everything. Give thanks to God as you ask him for what you need. The peace of God is much greater than the human mind can understand. The peace will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Christian brothers, keep your minds thinking about whatever's true, whatever's respected, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever can be loved, whatever's well thought of. If there's any good and worth giving thanks for, think about these things. Let's break down that verse. Verses. Number one, learn to pray about everything. How are we supposed to pray? Start by giving thanks. You ask him for what you need. What's the second thing we're supposed to do? Keep your mind thinking about a whole list of things. Think about those things. Next one, Andrew. So, we have a swimming pool. And if you have a swimming pool, you have to kind of learn how to be a junior chemist, right? To keep that water just right. So you have these little strips, right? You dip them down the water, and then you compare them against the chart there. And depending on the color that comes back, you know, you test for alkalinity, you test for bromide, you test for chlorine. I never get it right. I always try to do it the right way, and then I end up just tossing a bunch of chemicals in there and just walking away from them because I'm not a chemist, right? But anyhow, what if we were to use that same kind of testing about the stuff that we ingest into our minds? And, you know, dip the little strip into the TV show or into the website or whatever, pull it out, and then hold it up against this Christian test kit that Paul writes about. Is it true? Well, if it's bright red, might not want to watch that one. Is it respected? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it love from God's perspective? Is it well thought of according to his standard? Not yours, his. Is it worth giving thanks for? If those things are red or skewed, like bright orange, I would suggest to you, you know, not to have anything to do with them. And my next question is it something that you are comfortable inviting into your living room and having your kids actually watch it, not portrayed on TV, actually watch it right in your living room? Are you okay with that? If the answer is yes, then I'd say you're on the right track. If the answer is no, I'd probably say, well, that's something we might not want to be indulging in. Paul said to keep your mind thinking or to fix your thoughts. One of the keys to overcoming temptations, not merely to resist it, but to replace it. You know, I struggle with this. When I don't want to think about something, what am I doing? I'm thinking about the something I don't want to be thinking about, right? Whatever gets our focus gets us. James puts it this way. Here's the progression. When these desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. It starts in the mind. It becomes an action. It leads us to eternal death, if not physical death as well. That's the progression of sin. Number three, never let up on learning. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. We know that part. Take my yoke upon you. We remember that. And then he says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You cannot be a disciple of Christ if you're not learning about what Christ taught and what he charged his apostles into teaching the New Testament church. You can't claim to be a Christian and not pick up this book daily. Just can't be. In business, I always look for someone that's a lifelong learner, right? Someone that wants to continue, especially the business that we're in, always looking to learn the next thing. Look for a lifelong learner. We as Christians, we have to be lifelong learners. Here's a quick acrostic that I hope you take with you. It's called THINK. Okay, here's what it stands for. T, test every thought. David said, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path to everlasting life. Are you comfortable with God testing you? Sometimes I am. Most of the time I'm not. H, helmet your head. Paul says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, that's the image of a righteous person, full armor of God, right? The helmet of salvation. Why is a helmet important? Why do you wear a helmet when you ride a motorcycle, when you play a sport? Because your noggin's pretty important. You know, fatal injuries come here, right? I can probably survive something happening to my foot, something happening to my head, not so much. You have to guard your mind. I, imagine great thoughts. Think about all the great promises that God has given you as a Christian. There's one of them up there from Philippians. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And there is literally hundreds more of them. Those are the things that we need to be focused on. And nourish a godly mind. Eat the right stuff. David says, I will meditate on your precepts. That means law. I will meditate on your laws and fix my eyes on your way. Make sure that you are growing and developing. One of the things that I personally need to do a better job of, I need to get myself here when there's Bible study. I need to get myself to a small group. I need that interaction with other Christians to motivate me, to hold me accountable. I need to hear their insights into God's Word, how you struggle with some things, how you apply some things. I need that interaction with you. That's one of my resolutions for this year. And then finally, keep on learning. Continue to do these things. Continue to do these things. Give your life to doing them so your progress may be seen by everyone. And that's certainly true. As we progress as Christians, as we grow, it is just not us that sees those changes. It is everybody you come in contact with every day of your life. And we're going to close with the scripture reading this morning from Romans. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Get the garbage out of your life. Don't let it continue to come in unabated. It will affect you. If you think it doesn't, you're only believing Satan's lie. The battle for sin is fought in our minds every second of every day. We must not only resist, but may we refocus. May we fill our minds with the cleansing power of the Word. May we be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we will know Him and know His will. We always close with an invitation. If anyone's not a Christian, like to become a Christian, we can certainly accommodate that. Or if there's something that you need the church to know about, to pray about for you, we can do that too as together we stand and we sing.